This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park. Andy Hart here alongside Dan Ball.
Hey.
And you heard the call. What a weekend in America's most beloved ballpark. Boy, was I wrong. Dead-ass wrong, I think the kids would call it.
Sure.
Friday, sure. I was down in the doldrums.
You were.
Moping post-trade deadline like a player in past years at Fenway Park, and also because Crochet had been bumped back and I wasn't going to see him. I predicted Cooper Criswell would stink, lay an egg.
I believe the number was two innings you thought he was going to go.
So that was, he pitched two innings. And then a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh.
Right.
Game of his career to kick off maybe the biggest weekend at Fenway Park in recent Red Sox history. And it all came up smelling roses, baby. Second place, first wild card. Look in your rearview mirror and what do you see? That'd be the New York Yankees.
Falling fast.
Three games ahead of you would be the best record in the American League, whether that's the Tigers or the Blue Jays. It is on the horizon. And maybe most importantly, I said this to Dan Ball. I didn't think it was going to be a bombastic take, but I was driving in. We were having a little pre-show conversation.
Yeah.
I said, the most electric environment I've been in at Fenway Park in probably my lifetime. I've been to playoff games. I've been to big games, exciting games, fun games, whatever.
So what made it different? Because I heard that, and that was a little hard to believe.
Well, the environment, and we'll get to some Alex Cora audio later. He talked about, he even thinks maybe some of the music was a little louder and some of the things they control were amped up. But the crowd was tremendous. We talked about it. There were a lot of Astros fans here.
Yes.
As the game wore on, you could not tell. It was a Red Sox home crowd. It was an influential home crowd. The bottom of the ninth was unbelievable. I thought we had a walk-off with Trevor Story's double off the wall. Then that came after Trevor Story made the play at the plate. Right before the top of the 10th, he throws the guy out at the plate, which goes down as a ho-hum play, as a tough play. Couldn't really set his feet, kind of throwing across his body. Kind of reminded me of the Christian Campbell one from a few months ago that he threw to the backstop
when
he didn't set his feet.
Yeah.
You get that out, and then you come out, and the natural, whatever you want to call him, Roman Anthony comes through for you, gets the walk-off, gets chased around, the lights are flashing, the music is playing. The crowd was unbelievable, into everything. And it was not a Dodgers crowd, it was not an Astros crowd, even though there were plenty of Astros fans. They drowned out the Astros fans. And I don't think you can overstate how important that game was. Because I think, and Cooper Criswell said it himself, I don't know if you read this, I don't think too many guys thought we had a chance to win today or I would do that. Like, he was hearing the noise.
Yeah, he ain't wrong.
He knew the expectations for Cooper flipping Criswell taking the mound.
We spent 4 hours on Friday in this very same studio at Fenway talking about how you wanted to boo louder than you had ever booed in your life.
You just
didn't know what you were going to boo or in which direction you were going to send it. But the easiest one was going to be the fill-in, the guy that called up from AAA that was making the spot start, and specifically the guy that was making the spot start for Garrett Crochet, your ace, who would have been very useful to have on the mound, you thought, on Friday, given the magnitude of the game. But We thought there was going to be hell to pay for the Boston Red Sox on Friday. And so to hear that was your main takeaway from being in
best
the stands
ever
on Friday is crazy.
And would be up there with any of the regular season games I've seen in any sport. You know, you can't rank it up there with a ALCS or a World Series or something like that. But any regular season game I've been to, and I've been to a boatload of them at Gillette Stadium in a way, mostly NFL games, obviously, with my background.
Right.
But that environment was unbelievable. And I do, to steal the phrase that the manager likes to say, I do believe they needed that. I do believe that's a crossroads day and night. Like, if you lose a one-run game there, you lose an extra inning game, Oh, we're used to that, right?
Yep.
Oh, it's post-deadline. Oh, we're a little disappointed. We couldn't come through.
An extra bat certainly would have helped this.
Right.
Or an extra high-leverage arm out of the bullpen, whatever it was going to be.
Instead, what you had was good enough. And then what you had was good enough Saturday. And then what you had with, what are they calling him? AM Giolito, Morning Giolito, whatever the hell his new nickname is, because suddenly he's got two starts in a row as a night guy that are great in the morning.
Nasty.
With the Nationals win. Now you've won three in a row. You haven't used Bayo. You haven't used Crochet.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, and I know we've ridden the roller coaster all year long here on WEEI Afternoons. We've been overly optimistic at times, and last Friday we're probably overly pessimistic as the trade deadline played out.
Yeah.
But this team looks like a team that's ready to compete, that's ready. And I believe in special. Teams are special. Players are special. Vibes are special. There's certain things. This team has a special feel to it, and that game is magnifying the special feel. Even if you look at Roman Anthony, walk-off home run, he's in shallow left center field. Did you notice who had his arm around him?
Trevor Story.
Nope.
No?
Somebody else. His buddy, Marcelo Meyer, who might not play
the good arm or the bad arm?
I think he actually had the bad arm, and there was a brace on or something.
Good Lord.
But like, there's just vibes with this team, and Bregman and Story and the young guys and the old... Oh, do we need a little small ball? Where's Ted Johnson when I need him? He's been calling for small ball all year.
True.
They small balled their way to a run. Bunting? What? The Red Sox don't bunt. Oh, the hell they don't. It was a lot of fun, and I didn't boo once. I squashed, in part, because as you acknowledged, I wasn't sure who to boo and when to boo and how to boo.
I thought maybe the PA guy, if he was truly a homie, you know, he would have said, just added in a little line in the script between, and the manager of the Red Sox is Alex Cora, and then you get the applause, and the chief baseball officer is Craig Breslow, just to let everybody get it out of their system and then you're good
to go. That would have been fair.
Yeah.
He is the guy that should take it, but now he's the guy that stood pat on his team, and we'll get to some of the reports out of Minnesota, how the trade deadline played out, what was true, what wasn't, who they were in on, how close it was, all of those things. But now you're riding high. Now you got a 5-game winning streak.
Yep.
Looking at what should be a 7-game winning streak, right? You believe in your best pitchers. If you win with your less thans, and we need to say something, baseball and life are not fair. Cooper Criswell goes to the mound, gives you 7 innings, and what do you do?
Down.
By the way, you're not on the team anymore.
Yeah.
What? What's going on there? But you use your lesser than back end of the rotation.
Yeah.
You use the bullpen. You have had to use the bullpen. And where are you? In a 5-game winning streak. So I don't know how you can not feel great about the baseball team, the momentum, the atmosphere. This is something that feels special. I know Alex Cora has brought up 2021. I don't want to get too far ahead of my skis, as I am wont to do. There's a guy who's never really skied in his life, but
really?
2001. We got a guy on this show who lived it.
Yeah.
Things happen. Not all things look good at the time or play out. You can sulk for a week or things play out. Last week was a time where it didn't look great on Friday. 3 days later, you know what it looks like? Awesome. Duck boats, baby.
Okay. Well, I'd say
take
a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth for a moment on that one. And I think multiple things can be true. I think it's still fair to argue that come playoff time, because right now you're in the top wild card spot, 3 games back behind the Toronto Blue Jays. You're in a spot where right now you're starting to control your own destiny, which is incredible. I think come season's end, we're still going to argue the same things about the trade deadline that we're arguing right now. You ended up a starter short. Maybe you ended up a bat short. I think it's still fair to say that the complaints that we had on Friday about this team's lack of activity at the deadline are still going to be true. But that special thing is something you can't quantify.
Nope.
I can look for days on FanGraphs and Baseball Savant to try to tell you, here's the number that quantifies special. You just can't do it. It's guys that believe. It's guys that are hitting their stride at the right time. And it's guys that, and I know we're now almost a month or two removed, guys that look like they're playing with a weight off their shoulder and they're playing to their strengths. The guys that are playing small ball on Sunday, Andy, are not players that should be, swinging for the fences every single game. Home run or strikeout,
yep,
which was such an issue with this team at the beginning of the year. I think there's been a change in philosophy pitching-wise, a change in philosophy hitting-wise, and just a change in the energy and who's calling the shots amongst the veterans in the clubhouse, and I think that's kind of what we're seeing.
And there's a yes-sir, can-do coach attitude.
Yes.
Like, there are teams where I think Ref Snyder and Wong and back-to-back games and different things, Narvaez, like you could have wait, why is he getting two in a row? That guy hasn't been good all year. He's got no RBIs. I think this team is all on the same page. I think when Alex Cora, 1-26, even Cooper Criswell, I bet you he was like, okay, I get it. Like, I know what we're doing here. I might be back. I could be back. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when Alex Cora, and by extension, Breslow, make a move, say something to a guy, it's now, yep, right. Yes, sir. Well, tell me how to do it. Tell me what you want me to do it. Because they believe in the bigger picture. I think they actually believe in the, like, we're all in this to do something beyond the sum of the parts. Because people like us are going to question the sum of the part. Oh, that guy, you barely got a starter. You had to scramble to find and get May and like all these things.
Yeah.
I don't think they look at it that way anymore. I think they trust their manager to start pushing buttons, pulling strings. And I think we all believe when a team is good and when a team is competing for things that matter, Alex Cora is a pretty good manager. He's proven that. Sometimes in the crossroads, it's gone south. And that's fair. That's part of his resume. He's acknowledged that recent August and all that. But I think those inside the clubhouse probably believe in this team more than those outside the clubhouse. And that's something Alex Cora brought up on Friday night when he was talking about the electric environment at Fenway Park. Listen carefully. He likes what he sees, but there was a little passive-aggressive shot at late to the party at the crowd.
A few years ago was the yellow uniforms. Now it's the green ones, you know. So whatever it is, just make it fun again here, you know, make it a madhouse. And the louder, the better. You know, I tip my hat to them because that was a fun atmosphere. This year, I feel like as far as like attendance from the get-go, it's been packed little by little. They're catching up to what's going on here. They've been louder. Even the music was louder since last weekend. But it's fun. It's fun to play. This place like that is fun for us, and it's tough for the opposition.
I think he was talking to me. Little by little, we're catching on to what's going on here. We had our doubts. All-star break, trade deadline. Maybe he's talking to Ted Johnson, his old buddy from Houston. He's also late to the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But that little by little, people are catching on to what's going on. Like, it's always been full, but now they're actually invested in the game, in the environment that they are helping to create.
I mean, to be fair to fans, though, what were we given that was any kind of evidence to believe in this team before they started playing like a team that was worth believing in? Like, were we supposed to, after the post-2021 debuild of the Boston Red Sox, just blindly say, this year with a bunch of guys who are playing their first, second, and third seasons in baseball, yeah, here's my whole heart. I'm ready to have it torn out again.
Like, fair.
I'm not willing to say, oh, you guys should have been here from day one. You guys should have been proving that you were worth rooting for from day one. I don't feel bad about the way that the wave of optimism has kind of grown because now they're starting to play like a team that deserves my optimism after multiple years of not earning it.
And in this year in particular, they've had spurts of both. And I would agree with you in some sense. Well, if you're not going to know how to run the bases and you're not going to know how to play defense and you're going to strike out 16 times in a game, why exactly am I supposed to be electric? Why exactly am I supposed to be buying in? And then you had some other things. The Devers situation, his attitude, the trade, that. Bregman's injury, unfortunately, is sort of a deflating aspect of this team. Some of those things. Even Christian Campbell, like one of those young guys you're referencing, right out the gates, he's great. Now he's back in Worcester.
Yeah.
So there's been these kind of, I don't want to say mixed messaging, but like mixed messaging based on the circumstances.
Right.
Like the way it makes you
feel.
They're
here. Oh, you know, they're not. They're too young. Oh, they're great. Oh, they're stupid. Oh, they're good. Oh, now they're injured. That kind of thing. There's just been too many things on the roller coaster that we've had to deal with in years past as well, where I couldn't fully commit.
Right.
Yeah. Now you are 100% hand up accountability. Now you are earning my trust and my optimism and my fandom because you're putting it together consistently day after day.
And I no longer hope. Our buddy Lou Maloney used this change of words early in the year. He said, there's no more hope. It's expectation.
Yes.
For the season.
Right.
At times during the season, I don't know, the expectation, I think, faded, right? For various reasons that
we just
spoke of.
Yeah.
I think you're back now. Most Red Sox fans are expecting this team to go to the playoffs and be a potentially tough out, as they would say.
Yeah.
A dangerous baseball team.
They have a little bit of Cinderella feel to them.
Yes.
A little Arizona Diamondbacks from a couple years ago where you get in as a wild card, but you just have it, whatever it is going to be. And the question will just be the depth once they get there.
And I think what Cora was referencing there, if we get in and we have a little it, Well, the crowd can be an additional it and
right.
make it tough on some night in October here at Fenway Park. And you help. You know, yes, we need Roman Anthony to get the big hit. Yes, we need guys to the pitching staff to do their job. But if you can give us an environment that is uncomfortable, I think he said, for the opponent.
Yes.
That can help us do something special in October. And it's been a while since we've had that. Half a decade here since you've had the
no
feeling
kidding.
Of October baseball.
It feels longer.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Pause.
And a journey to get here.
617-779-7937. We weren't the only ones, though. Let's go to the phone lines early because I want people to react to what they saw this weekend. We all reacted. And if we're all going to be honest with ourselves, we were negative on Friday. We were about 95% negative, save for a few supporters. Well, I think we're all probably 95% positive. So let's go to Jay in Rhode Island and what he thought about the atmosphere Friday night at Fenway. What's up, Jay?
It was unbelievable, Andy. You were totally on point with pretty much everything. The weather was amazing. Criswell was, you know, I mean, who would expect he'd give a 7? That was great. The atmosphere was electric. I took my grown kids there, and they had an amazing time. It was so fun. And it's also nice to hear the happy Andy Hart, not the guy I talked to last Thursday when I told you to take a chill pill.
Thanks for the call, Jay. I just react to what I see.
Yeah.
I'm an emotional guy. Dan Ball talks about this all the time. He knows what I'm bringing to the station every day, right?
Yep.
Energy.
Yes.
Emotion.
Yes.
Now, whether it's good or bad and needs to be reined in which direction, and Ted, I think, fights this battle. Jesus, what's the bipolar Andy going to bring to the table today? That's what I do. I react to what I see. When you give me that environment, and again, not just a run-of-the-mill game on a run-of-the-mill night against a run-of-the-mill team. This wasn't the Rockies, was it?
No, it was not.
Astros, right?
Yeah, it was the Astros. Not the Rockies, not the Nationals, not even the Rays.
Astros are a first-place baseball team?
They are indeed, yeah.
Okay, and they're also a rival, a contender, a thing, sort of, in recent baseball for the Red Sox and others?
They're almost a bigger rival in the last, call it, 5 years than the Yankees at this
okay.
point. Like, you've had, or even 10 years, you've had some incredible battles with them, and you got two of their best in Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez.
And that came directly after what we thought might be sort of a clubhouse-wide kick in the cojones, right?
The Red Sox had every opportunity to fold on Friday in this series and prove like, yeah, you know what? They didn't do anything. We're kind of pretenders. Every opportunity to do it.
And instead, they went out there and swept the Astros, something they hadn't done, what'd you say, in a number of years.
2013. And you know who Jesus. Recorded the last out of that sweep? Andrew Bailey.
So this is the Bailey magic.
That's right.
He was there that
Bailey
day,
full circle.
There this day,
that's
boom,
right.
And all you people wanted to fire him midseason when the pitching staff was terrible. No, I do think that something special built over the weekend. Now, the bottom can fall out.
Yeah.
You go lose 5 in a row and we forget quickly. It's what we said. But they avoided that. And if we want to rewind a little bit further, the weekend's great, but when you salvaged the 6-6, the famous Ted Johnson 6-6, 500 out of the All-Star break into the trade deadline, you salvaged a little something. You didn't go in the tank. You didn't go down the toilet there. And I think that's big leading into the trade deadline. And then out of the trade deadline, you win. You have some momentum. And the stupid little thing, speaking of, you know, special teams sometimes have gimmicks or celebrate. The airplane thing from the throw-up
fight.
I'm
so glad you brought this up.
It's become a thing.
Yes, because before we were trying to diagnose, is it like the eating, like Zeke
yep.
Elliott, or was it the film, like this is a movie, whole that kind of thing. We don't know where it came from. We don't know the meeting. We don't know who started it. It was kind of just, all right, there's their celebration. We were ranking it, and it was nowhere close to the, you know, the laundry cart or some of the other things.
Right.
Even the Wally head. This, we know exactly where it came from. We know it seemed to be an experience that bonded them together. And now you see them on second base. They do it. You see them when they're around the bases on a home run. They do it. You see the dugout. They're all doing it. It's awesome. It's just, to your point, it's another little thing that makes you go, oh, this group has a little, they have a lot of reasons for me to really like what's going on right now.
A little symbolism. They
sure.
literally threw up all over themselves on the flight to Minnesota.
It won a series.
To avoid throwing up on themselves in a figurative sense.
Right.
And now it's sort of become that lightning rod or message of this team. 617-779-7937. How we feeling 3 days later about the Boston Red Sox? Trade deadline is gone. They didn't do what we wanted them to do, but then they went out and won 3 games. And they have Bayo and Crochet on the horizon. Things are looking up in Red Sox Nation. We are here at Fenway Park in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. 617-779-7937. Your calls on the sprinting Red Sox toward the postseason, baby. I said duck boats. Dan said not so fast. Am I getting a little ahead of myself? Your calls next as we react to a great weekend of baseball at Fenway Park. But first, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox completed the series sweep over the Houston Astros yesterday afternoon with a 6-1 win at Fenway Park. It's the first Red Sox series sweep against the Astros since April 25th through the 28th of 2013. Boston is now 11 games over 500 for the first time in 3 years. They're currently in second place in the AL East, 3 games back of the Blue Jays, and a game and a half clear of the Yankees. The Red Sox begin a 3-game series against the Kansas City Royals tonight at Fenway. First pitch is at 7:10. Brian Baio will start opposite Bailey Falter. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 6:10. And Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Patriots completed day 10 of training camp earlier today. As announced by the team, the statue unveiling of Tom Brady on Friday is set for 6 p.m. The Patriots preseason game against the Commanders will kick off at 7:30. From around the league, the Dolphins, defensive tackle Zach Sealer agreed to a 3-year extension that makes him the team's highest paid defensive player, and the NFL Players Association has elected David White as its interim executive director 17 days after Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned. New Celtic minority owner Steve Pagliuca released a statement confirming an offer has been made to buy the WNBA's Connecticut Sun and move it out of Mohegan Sun Arena. He did say that there are still approvals that had not been obtained from the league to this point. And Cameron Young became the 1,000th player to win a recognized PGA Tour event after winning the Wyndham Championship. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I had a feeling this was going to happen.
Yeah, benches are empty. Here come the bullpens, too.
Yeah, imagine the Astros being mad about stealing signs. But guess what? That's part of the game. When you can see the grip in a glove.
That was Will Middlebrooks.
Gotta love it.
With, I think, maybe the line of the year.
Yeah.
It went viral. A lot of the awful announcing in different sort of media websites picked it up. Imagine the Astros complaining about sign stealing.
I'm wrong.
So,
wrong.
Dan Ball, you did the prep work, so you set the stage. Paint the picture as to why we had a bench clearing. Well, it was just a bench clearing. Nothing came from that.
Yeah.
Wasn't even touching. I don't even think anybody touched each other.
Bench clearing disagreement? Argument?
Chest puff out.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah. Peacocking. Okay, so bottom of the seventh inning, Red Sox are up 4 runs. Runner on second base, which is Trevor Story.
Yeah.
And I think that's significant because Trevor's a veteran, and he's also Alex Cora's right-hand man. Like,
yep.
If you look at the dugout, it's either Ramon Vasquez, Trevor Story, or Alex Bregman, who's next to Alex Cora. So this is a veteran. He's on second, and Hector Neris is on the mound. So he steps off and intentionally balks to get Trevor to third,
yep,
to get him to stop relaying what he thought was relaying his grip on his splitter to Carlos Narvaez, who was at the plate.
Yep.
So that ended it at the time. End the inning, ground out to third, inning over, as Kyle Hudson, the third base coach, is running back off the diamond. Hector Neris says something. Originally, Hudson was just laughing.
Like, it was,
you know, whatever. Just guys, you know, just baseball players being baseball players, whatever. Whatever Neris said next got him to turn around, do a complete 180, and then start an argument that led to a bit of a disagreement. So that's what cleared the dugout, cleared the bullpen. And I think it's just so silly. I mean, Neris, what is he crying about? It's a part of baseball.
Yeah.
It was not involving, and this is where people from other fan bases were getting all up in arms, wasn't involving technology of any kind.
Correct.
It's just an old school kind of thing that happens in baseball. And if you want it to stop, then don't show your grip.
Right.
Change your glove angle so you can't see it at second base. That's a pitcher issue, not a runner issue.
It's really no different than tipping pitches. Just the location of the person who's observing the tip.
Right.
Right. Like sometimes it's the dugout, sometimes it's the on-deck batter, whatever it may be. You were basically tipping pitches to a person who could then relay it. And the second thing is, you say it's not sign stealing, it's not technology, it's not a modern
it's not a
scandal.
League.
And I don't know whether it's legal or not illegal in Little League baseball. I saw the exact same thing. They paused one of these regional Little League World Series games because a guy on second, there was some confusion, is the kid tipping? I think he was like opening his palm like a fastball's coming, and they delayed it. They had to go speak with the regional tournament director, blah, blah, and then they came back out, kid hit a grand slam.
So there you go. Perfect.
Didn't really solve the issue.
You got to be a little bit more discreet about it. You can't be like flashing numbers or whatever.
Right.
It's like, you know, all right, brush off your knee. That's a fastball. Adjust your helmet. That's a curveball. Like,
right.
Give me a little signage.
I also think you need to be a little bit more discreet in your pushing back against it if you're the Astros or the pitcher.
Yeah.
You can. I'm not telling you don't be mad. I get mad about a million things a day, right? We all know that. A million things a show.
Yeah.
Mad all the time.
Yes.
But be a little bit more discreet. And as Will Middlebrooks brings up, you're the Astros.
Right.
I don't care whether he was part of it or not. You need to know who you are, what it says on the front of your jersey, what history is. Like, have a little awareness of the situation. So it was a fun side story, right? And Cora was out there kind of moving people back and doing his thing.
Yeah, kind of doing like a get out of here motion with his hands.
And it's also funny that this series has a boatload of Astros in it. Not just the current Astros. You get Carlos Correa back in an Astros uniform. You have Bregman, who was on. You have Cora, who was part of those Astros. Like, there's,
you're Carlos Beltran away from a reunion of the group that did all that stuff. And I also think it's important to acknowledge, like, that's a part of the Reds, not the illegal stuff. The legal stealing signs, getting the advantage. There was that great angle, the side view of Roman Gonzalez hitting the home run in Philadelphia, where you can see Cora flash a sign to the first base coach, who sends it to Romy, who tells him what's coming, who then hits the home run. And the immediate high five. Like, you can hear it across the diamond, the high five between Cora and Vasquez. Like, Alex Cora is a baseball mind that is always looking for a leg up on the competition, and that's just kind of part of who he is.
As everyone is, or should be.
Right.
Or should, and have been for 100 years.
Right.
Where you get into the trouble is the Apple Watches and the equipment and cameras. And
you get too smart for your own
things.
Good.
But when you do it traditionally, like a coach, you know, there's a reason catchers used to try to hide their signs. Why? Because the coaches can relay them, like the first and third base coach might be able to see it. Like, different things along the way. Now, technology has actually changed some of that with the pitch comm and different things.
Right. So you're actually, you're fighting back against it.
Right.
All the more reason, hey, Neris, somebody in 2025 is stealing your pitches.
Right.
Change something, my man.
And guess what? It could happen to Lucas Giolito. It could happen to Dustin May. Could happen to any of them.
Right.
Now, it might not, because I think Alex Cora is good at it, and the first person who might notice the pitcher is tipping his pitches would be the manager in his dugout.
Right.
And that's good to have, right? That's self-scouting.
Again, another advantage of why Alex Cora is your manager and not somebody else's.
Oh, I feel like you might be teasing a three-point stance for later about Alex Cora and his value to the baseball team and how things are going. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to your state, your great state, Lori in Connecticut.
Love
What's
it.
Up, Lori?
Hi there. So, don't judge, but I just finally watched The Comeback on Netflix, and I couldn't help but make the comparison between the Nomar trade and the Devers trade, and how getting rid of the clubhouse cancer set the team on a positive trajectory, and I think that that's what's happening now. I mean, I'm realistic enough to know that the shoe could drop at any given time, but I feel as though the young ones on this team are hungry, and they want to prove themselves, and they're having a ball, and they're playing loose, and that's what we want, and I'm so grateful, and I never, ever thought in a million years I'd ever say, I'm grateful for Alex Bregman being on my team, because he and Trevor Story have been the leadership component that we've needed for a very long time.
Thanks for the call, Lori. I agree with almost everything she said.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that came to me because clubhouses or locker rooms, whatever you want to call it, the vibe, the dressing room, I think it matters in all sports.
Yeah.
I think there's I've always had the debate, though, like what comes first, the winning or the good clubhouse, kind of the chicken or the egg kind of thing. Doesn't it matter in baseball as much as anywhere where games are long, nights are long, weeks are long, months are long, seasons are long? Like, all that time, if there is a negative air or feeling or energy in a clubhouse, I think that can derail you more so than like a football game.
Yeah.
You only play once a week. And let's be honest, if we get a pick six, that changes everything immediately. And like you can get by. But if you're going through the marathon season, week, flights, road trips, different things, and everything is just a little off or negative, that's going to wear on you. It's impossible for it to not wear on.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for a baseball season. I mean, you're barely seeing anybody outside of your teammates. Where in a right. football season, all right, whatever, we lost, we got blown out, but let's fly home. I'm sleeping in my own bed. I'm seeing my family. We get back at it. We have a full week to flush it and get back at it. In a baseball season, especially on the road, oh, we just lost, and check the watch, 12 more hours, we have to go back with the same group yep. and try to completely forget what just happened.
Or conversely, we just won. Maybe we shouldn't have. Maybe we should have lost, but yeah. we just won. We found a way to win, just like we did the other day, and we get to go back out there tomorrow and do it again. And maybe tomorrow we actually have better talent, better matchups, better whatever, and then all of a sudden it's snowballing for the positive. So I do... You know, we always talk about Bill James and different, you know, clutch and momentum
yeah,
and quantification yeah. of these things.
They've tried to.
Yeah, they can't.
No.
They can't.
No.
Alex Cora has done a pretty good job at least leading it and measuring it this year. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines to everybody's favorite caller, Steve in Fall River. What's up, Steve?
How are you? So I have a group of friends. They're very lucky. They're on a text thread with me. And... before I get to them, I called you guys the morning after the Devers trade. I said I was up all night partying, and I said, I'm printing T-shirts, addition by subtraction, 2025. And here we are seeing it. We don't have to make up for his money at the trade deadline. What it was allowed Cora to do with this lineup, getting this roadblock, cancer, baby, underperforming buffoon out of the way was good. Why we lionized the guy that traded the GM out there in San Francisco, that's just us.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Yeah, they're a better baseball team without Rafi Devers. They made what is a externally or superficially difficult trade, whereas internally I think they thought it was pretty easy. They pretty much wanted him out of here from
seemed to be
owner straight on down through
to the point where you couldn't wait to the trade deadline, where I would be very curious to see what you would have gotten in return, but they needed to make it happen.
Sure.
And they did. I would also argue something else on the Devers trade. Yes, I think the sheer removal of the presence and seemingly the black cloud over your team is significant, but around that same time, Trevor Story became one of the best hitters in the American League. He's a mm-hmm. 300 hitter with the most RBI since June 1st. You made that trade on June 15th. That's one. Jarren Duran has completely refound his 2024 All-Star borderline MVP form. So at the same time, you've also had performances from your veterans, from
correct.
The guys that set the tone in your clubhouse that have now started to match what you needed from them. So yes, I think there's something to you remove Devers from the equation and it kind of lightens the load for everybody else. No fat pun intended. But you're also getting performances from the guys who are supposed to be your best players over the last month plus, and I don't think that's insignificant.
I also think we need to acknowledge that at the time of the trade, in defending the trade, your general manager, Craig Breslow, said, I think when it's all said and done, we might win more games without him, basically, than we would have won with him.
And we thought he was out of his mind.
We did, and we've criticized him for a lot of things he's said and done over the course of this season, talking about urgency and what they were going to do and things that didn't come to fruition at the trade deadline. Well, that's one thing he said that so far was prescient. He was right.
Yep.
They're going to be a better team, T-E-A-M, not a collection of talent maybe, but a better team
yeah.
than they would have been with Rafi Devers, and the winning, the record... Well, the numbers I was doing are 19 of their last 25, Dan Ball. It's a pretty good baseball team, right?
That's a fantastic 19
and
baseball
six.
Team. Through a pretty tough stretch.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
After
oh, yeah.
which now you have the 16th hardest strength of schedule. Some very, very winnable games outside of another series against Houston coming up.
So Craig Breslow may have some faults, but he was seemingly right on that one. He got that one right with not only the Devers trade, but how he felt it would affect his baseball team. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your phone calls reacting. We think positively to what's going on here at Fenway Park with the Boston Red Sox. Up next, though, we do need to address a minor little hiccup from
Let's
the weekend.
Go. Been waiting all weekend for this.
I don't seek beefs and feuds, but they seem to seek me. And we've had a few of them here on WEEI Afternoons. It relates to the trade deadline. It relates to Jared Karabas from Nesson. We'll touch on that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
He's also just apparently he's a huge because I mean he apparently had I didn't listen to the segment. I just had people tweet it at me. Apparently he had a lot to say and he was saying it with his chest, but when I confronted him about it, man, did he cower like a little. So Andy, I know that you're at Fenway a lot. I'll see you soon, pal. I mean, I'll be around. I'm always around. So we can have a chat, or maybe we won't. Maybe you'll hide. I don't know. But I'm not too hard to find.
Woo! That was Jared Karabas, Nesson, Section 10 podcast. I guess Dan Ball Sunday?
Saturday? Oh, the episode was Sunday, yes.
Okay.
The original kerfuffle started on Saturday.
So, Jared, I am here at Fenway Park, just like you, apparently, 2 to 6, many days per week. We're in our studio. There's big windows to our left on Lansdowne Street. There's a door to our right. You are welcome to come through that door anytime you would like. Would love to hash it out. So some people are probably like, wait, what the hell's going on? Why is Jared Karabas mad
that
at
includes
Andy?
Those
yeah, that
involved,
was like me.
I would
yeah,
argue.
That was me
yeah,
last night.
Well, a little background before Dan Ball reads the tweet from Jared Karabas that sort of ignited this whole thing.
Yep.
So last week we were talking about trade deadline and various reports and Joe Ryan and things that were out there and Jared Karabas. Dan Ball, you're a fan of his work.
I am. I had full cards on the table. I've been listening to Section 10 since college, so I've followed his work for a while.
And you often bring me information, opinions, audio, things that come from him, and you were like, he says they're at the 5-yard line, they just kind of need to punch it in type thing.
Yeah, both me and Brian Frazoco were monitoring his stream during the trade deadline because,
yep,
as you know, I was on the trade desk, so
yep,
I was trying to find any bit of information that was helpful. So in addition to watching Paston, Nightingale, all those, I was monitoring to see if there was any. And, you know, there were certain times where there were blips like, oh, there may be something that's developing here. So his name kind of entered the conversation on Thursday.
And so I think at one point I said something to the effect of, and I'm pretty sure I'm paraphrasing accurately here. He works for Nesson. He's a self-professed super fan, as anyone who's watched the game knows, because they air those commercials a lot with him and the foam finger and,
yep,
you know, Papelbon and the whole thing. And I said, maybe we just need to take some of his reports with a grain of salt, because obviously they never got it over the goal line. They
right,
never got Joe Ryan. We even now have conflicting reports out of Minnesota and Boston, actually, whether it was even close or whether it was a last-minute thing,
right,
whatever. And so apparently he took offense to that. Little background information for Jared Karabas, because I guess he may not be overly familiar with me. I worked for the Patriots for 20 years, Patriots.com, Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots preseason broadcasts, all of those things.
Brag.
So I absolutely brag. It got me where I am, Stiz. It was the background to the career we see now.
Sure.
So I dealt with this, like, are you an analyst? Are you a team honk? Are you the house organ? Whatever.
Where's the information coming from and what's the end goal with it?
And in today's world, I think we all say, what's the information? Where's it coming from? And who benefits from this information?
Right.
So I do that a lot. You know I do that a lot.
Of course.
Crap sheet with anybody. Anybody that reports anything, I kind of try to figure out where they got it, why they got it, whatever. But so then I'm driving home from New Hampshire on Saturday and my phone starts blowing up with people sending me tweets, screen captures, Paul Perillo, John Lyons, Mike Giardi. There were some of my son's friends were sending me a tweet put out by Jared Karabas that said what, Dan Ball?
Who the blank is Andy Hart? No tag, just Andy Hart.
At me, bro.
And why is he talking about me? That was the original tweet, 2:46 on Saturday. I was also in Portland with my parents finishing up lunch, and I had David and Jacob and a couple other people from around the station sending like, hey, just so you're aware, this is about to start.
So John Lyons was the first, so I replied to him, not sure what this is about, but I guess I should probably introduce myself.
Yes.
So all I did was reply to the tweet.
That's me, and that's kind of part of my job. I love when the exclamation points come out because I hear you saying it.
Was there anything wrong with that reply? He asked me a question.
Yeah.
Two questions, actually.
Yeah.
Didn't at me, so I guess he just asked the general Twitter audience.
You identified yourself, and you identified why he may have came up in conversation specific to you.
Right.
I think.
And then there was some back and forths. I was in various states of engagement, in various states of having a few beers by the pool, different things of that nature. And it really went nowhere. I actually thought it had kind of petered out, died out. We kind of left it with both passive aggressive, like, good day, take care, good day.
Right.
And I thought it was done until you brought the audio we had just played to my attention. But we have a little more audio, Stiz. Little did I know that apparently Jared Carrabas is aware of our show and people on our show and fan of certain people on our show, just not me.
And apparently I know that they do their show at Fenway because his co-host, Ted Johnson, I ran into him about a week ago at Fenway. Nicest guy. Shook his hand. He said he was a big fan of what we do. He said he loved the show and to keep up the great work. That's what he said. His co-host said that to me.
So he's aware of Ted Johnson.
Has Ted listened to this?
We all are.
Ted told us he ran into Carrabas last week.
He did. That's right.
He told, yep, yes, he did. Told us that okay. In the studio.
You know, I don't have a great memory, and sometimes listening can be an issue for me.
That's
so
right.
He has met Ted Johnson, met him here at Fenway Park,
yep.
And loves Ted. Ted loves him. So I'm just the odd man out in this little love triangle, apparently. But I think it's water under the bridge. I think we've moved on. But again, there's an open invitation here at the Fenway Park Ford Clubhouse Studio. Jared Carrabas, you want to come down, talk about it, talk about media careers? Because I like his energy. I'll tell you one thing I like that I think is similar between the two of us. We have energy. He likes baseball probably more than I do. I like football probably more than he does. But
yeah.
I think we bring similar passion to our various jobs that I think is admirable.
Yeah, you guys are both very prideful in your work and very confident in the work that you do. So I think it was two confident media individuals.
Cocky?
I said confident. You throw whatever
Stiz,
word
you agreed with cocky?
Well, I just had a problem when you were like, Dan, I mean, I just responded. I mean, I'm just being Mr. Innocent Andy Hart. You were being Petty Krueger. You are the most competitive guy I know. No, and even in your panda emoji responses, there's some cockiness behind them. So,
Stiz, I was taught if someone asks you a question, you answer it.
No, listen, right? I get it. Like if someone says, you know, especially in this industry, when people tweet about our show or about us, it is very hard for me to not clap back. I maybe think it could have been done in a different way. I like Jared.
Meow.
I get where he's coming from. but yeah, you both
what
were
you sucking you up
both,
to him for.
No, you both were being Petty Krueger. You both were being Petty Krueger.
And I believe, Dan Ball, you said elsewhere in the podcast, he actually acknowledged that he can be petty.
Yeah, it was kind of ironic. It was the podcast before where he was talking about going back and forth with members of their Reddit page for the podcast, and he was going back on the same thing.
Does he use a panda emoji too? Are we like the same person?
I honestly, hand to God, I think if you guys actually do get the chance to interact, which I really hope you do, I think you'd find more common ground with your personalities than maybe you realize. I think there's just a lot that's kind of getting lost in translation over Twitter and then two separate shows.
Tends to happen.
That's my personal opinion, just knowing you and working with you and then listening to his content for a while.
Kind of like my feud with Will Fleming. It was short-lived, but it was passionate for a couple of told people like me to F off, right? So
yeah.
It happens. And then we clear it up and you become a friend of the show.
But the see me at Fenway happen. Park was a little crazy. That angle.
Yeah, I was a little worried. Dan Ball and I were walking in. I was looking behind every post.
And you don't have Ted Johnson with you there today,
right.
too. So.
Right. I had Dan. I
never good when I'm the muscle.
No offense, Dan, but I feel much better when Ted's around
You've
and has my back.
You've seen me try to tackle before. I take no offense to that.
All right, 617-779-7937. We are reacting not to that. We're reacting to the Boston Red Sox turning their season around, exploding, heading towards the postseason. But we're also here at 3 o'clock Fenway Park in the Ford Clubhouse Studios. It means it's time for the three-point stance, where for the rare second time in like a month, I'm going to have something to say about the WNBA, and it may involve the acronym WTF WNBA. That's up next here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.